Well, good morning, beloved. Good morning to our visitors. Know that you're our honored guests, and please stick around and get to know us. We want to have every available opportunity to develop that relationship and just get to know you. For the past few weeks, we've been in a series looking at the Christian graces, and we concluded to the point that diligence and faith are not really part of them, but they are all-inclusive because you have to be diligent in our pursuits, and we have to be adding unto our faith. You know, there has to be something there in order to add to. So this morning, I want us to address the aspect of knowledge. And again, if you look at the Christian graces, and I promise one day this crud will work itself out of me. But if you look at the Christian graces, there are seven of them. And again, that number in Hebrew and in numerology means a perfect number, a complete number. And that is what we are striving to be, is that complete and mature, that complete and mature Christian. Now, when we see, and again, I like what the American Standard says, adding on your part, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue add knowledge. Last week we looked at how virtue is having that moral compass, but also that moral compass that demands action. You have that courage to stand for what is right. You have that courage to do what is right. And so if we have that moral courage and that moral compass, and then we bring in knowledge, well, I believe that these are really in a good order. Because now we're going to seek that good and holy knowledge. Not the knowledge of the world, but the knowledge that comes from God. And we will have the ability to filter out the garbage that is in this world. And when we think of the word knowledge, now some may think that it is just a word. Some may think that it is detailed information passed on from one to another. That that is not the knowledge that is being spoken of here. It comes from the Greek word gnosis. And this is not a passive knowledge. Rather, it is an active knowledge. It comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means a seeking to know, an inquiry, an investigation. Again, that should paint a picture for us of what this knowledge is, or what it what it demands. Now, does it refer to understanding? Yes. But understanding had a cognition of an effort. You know, you can be given information and not understand it. So even the word understanding has implications of work, of ethic, of trying to break it down and understand it. And so I want us to take this principle that this is not passive, but it is active. And again, think back how Peter first responded to this. Be ye diligent. You know, this requires effort. This requires us to be active and forethinking. And this knowledge is in pursuit, again, of that good knowledge, that morally good information. So in order for us to have knowledge, we need to have that desire to know it. You know, I found this quote, and I normally don't speak like this, but it says, before insight into truth, there must be a desire for the truth. And that makes sense. Consider what Jesus says here in Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Yes, the context is necessities. But understanding the will of God, knowing who God is and what He desires, I think that is a necessity. And this shows an active person. This shows someone with the mindset that I have the virtue, I have the moral courage to seek after from the one who can provide it. I'm not going to seek after the world, but I'm going to seek after God. You know, in a world that tells us what to believe and how to believe, many times young minds who are trying to seek the truth are redirected toward a denomination. They are redirected toward man's wisdom. They're redirected to a book that is entirely written by man. No knowledge. And seeking to know. You know, as Christians, Peter was wanting them to go against the grain, to not fall victim to the many false teachings that were going around. Yes, there were some Gnostic teachings, but there were also the teachings of the old law and how they had been misconstrued and they had been twisted. And Peter wants these Christians to be diligent, to be zealous, to be courageous Christians who, above all, desire to know the truth, especially the truth about the one whom already provided it. We already saw this in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. It is the mind of Christ, and it is the truth that comes from Christ that sets us free. You know, the teachings of Peter in regard to having that honest heart, that courageous mentality, the desire to know truth. So many people are happy being ignorant. So many people don't want to know the truth because they're afraid of what it says. But we should not be afraid of truth. We should be afraid of the result of not knowing the truth, not obeying the truth. You know, here the teachings of Peter in regards to this are honestly referred and spoken as spoken along the same lines that Paul speaks. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, Paul says, test all things. Test the spirits. Don't believe every single thing that you hear. Desire to know whether or not what you're hearing is true. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, just before this, Paul tells them, don't quench the spirit. Don't be satisfied. Don't tell the Holy Spirit through revealing the message of God, through the Word of God, I'm okay. I know enough. I don't need to grow anymore. Don't quench the spirit. Desire to understand. Desire to understand deeper. Romans 3 and verse 4 tells us that God's word is truth. A sincere desire for truth assumes genuine love for truth. Do you love truth? If one deeply loves truth, then he desires to understand it. And he desires to change his life upon understanding it and making application. And this is evidently taught by Jesus in John 7 and verse 17, if anyone wills to do his will, He saw no concerning the doctrine. We can't claim to be followers of Christ by simply just moving with everyone else. We can't claim to be followers of Christ if we're just following tradition. We have to know concerning the doctrine. And when we know the doctrine of Christ, when we hear these false claims, we will be able to say, that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like the Word of God. And I still find it fascinating that the Secret Service, the branch of that Secret Service that watches over our monies, part of their training is knowing and looking at and feeling a real authentic bill. So that when a false one, a counterfeit comes before them, they can easily spot it out. That is how well we need to know God's Word. We need to have that desire to know it. Because if we don't, even know God's Word, how on earth are we going to comprehend it? So in order for us to continue to build our knowledge, we need to comprehend the truth. You know, just as before, we must desire to know before we can gather that knowledge, we must comprehend knowledge before we can rightfully apply it. You see how much relies upon you? You see how much relies upon you to make that decision? Consider what Paul says here in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, okay? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Don't just know it, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Is this always easy? No. But must we do it? Just because truth has been revealed does not make us fully aware of it. You know how much truth is contained in this book? How much of it do you understand? You know, that's a valid question. How much truth is in here? If you could quantify it, how much of it do you understand? No, one cannot be expected to walk wisely in conformity with God's will if he does not understand what the will is. You know, my son just got a model car for his birthday. And inside the box are pieces just like this. Is this a car? Yes or no? No. And if it is, it's not going to get you anywhere. And we can have these tidbits, these pieces of knowledge, of information. Pieces of information. And unless we understand how they all fit together, go together, and what they mean, when God looks at our minds and when we are looking into our own minds, instead of having the Word of God, we have this. Little bits and pieces here and there. We really don't know how they go together. We really don't see the intricacies of God's Word. It's just a hodgepodge of pieces. Is that knowledge? No, that's just information. However, even if I have this information, even if I have the information on the instructions on how to build the car correctly, and I don't do it, and I throw away the instructions, and I manage to somehow get the pieces together, to resemble a vehicle, is that the vehicle that the instructions were intended to build? No. If I disregard the instructions that are found within this book, I disregard them and I happen to look the part, am I a true, genuine Christian? No. I may quack like one, I may sound like one, I may even walk like one. But just because I quack like a duck doesn't make me a duck. Just because I walk like a duck doesn't make me a duck. And so we need to understand. And before we can understand, we need to know how to apply it. And that comes with understanding. But if we fail to study the directions given to us by God, how are we going to grow? Peter clearly wants these Christians to grow correctly. And we can't be reading a verse, a chapter, a book in a vacuum. We need to see how all these intricacies are connected and woven through. And we need to desire, again, we need to desire the pure milk of the Word. And are some things going to be difficult? Absolutely. Peter here is quoting Paul. And he tells us, and also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of Scripture. You know, Paul taught some pretty deep things. Are they impossible to understand? No. Are they difficult to understand? Yes. And so do we ever get to the point to where we say, I can't understand it? I think we need to be careful when we say that. And rather say, I don't understand it yet. Because this leads us to our next point, is in order to have genuine knowledge, we must have the mental fortitude to carry on. You know how many biblical subjects cause your head to spin? You know how many difficult things there are that you just don't know where to go? And is that reason enough for us to quit? I don't understand this, so I'm just going to give up in my pursuit of it. Foolishness. We need to rather say, I don't understand it yet, but I hope one day I will. You know, this is why 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 still speaks volumes today. I have had friends, I have had family members who laugh and gawk at the words contained because they see it as foolishness. They see it and understand it as foolishness because they're taking something at face value. They're reading or trying to understand something in a vacuum, and you can't do that. They don't have the mental fortitude to trudge through the shallows, to trudge through the deep stuff, bring it all together and to understand it. A desire to understand is not enough. There are so many people that desire to do something, but oftentimes, you know where they're at? On the couch. Too many people desire to do something and yet they never push themselves. They remain in the same dead-end job, the same dead-end habits. They don't change their study habits. They don't change within themselves. I desire a better job. Well, what are you doing to get a better job? Are you educating yourself? Are you actively looking for one? Because very rarely in life do opportunities just drop in front of your lap, where all you have to do is accept it and everything will be fine and dandy. It just doesn't really happen. But God's word is here. He's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. You have a problem in your life? Go here. Don't go to Dr. Phil. Don't go to some priest, some pastor, some rabbi. Go to the Word of God. Don't go to some self-help book. They only have Band-Aids. This is true. Now, I'm not discounting the medical community and the good that they have done through their counseling and introspective, you know, measurements and all that. But don't rely on the world to fix yourself. You know, a desire is not enough. That is why in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the King James, I kind of like what they do, because the King James says study. And how do they get the word study? Because the Greek word is spoudazo. It literally means to be diligent, to give effort. But it's because rightly dividing the word of truth, that is study. And so they're taking this and they're bringing it back around and they're interpreting it correctly to be study. It takes effort. It takes diligent effort to break down the word of God, not so that you can cast out what you don't want, but that you can see it for what it is, rightly handling, rightly dividing the word of truth. There can be no deep attainment of Bible knowledge without mental perspiration. Yes, I said mental perspiration. It's not easy. Thinking like a Christian and acting like a Christian is not easy. And getting to where you can think and act and react like a Christian is not easy. Look what Paul says here in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's not always easy. With all the distractions, with everyone else going off into lawlessness, and it looks great on the surface. Just look at how many commercials there is for lawlessness. But we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting. Set your mind on things above. You see the two different things? You have to desire and seek it. And then once you obtain it and understand it, that's where you set your mind. You're focused on the things above and not on the filth below. And that's not easy. You know, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul says that bodily exercise profits little. You know, going to the gym and working out and sweating, it's all good. But in the grand scheme of things, he says living godly is profitable. Because there in verse 7, before Paul begins speaking about bodily exercise profits little, he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise unto godliness. That takes effort. That takes us to maybe sweat on the brow just a bit. And if we apply ourselves sporadically in our study, you know what you're going to get? A weak Christian. If we sow seeds of laziness, then our understanding will be like that picture of that model car. Maybe you'll have some components built together, but you still don't have that car. You have pieces of a car, but that car it's not a car yet. I got this quote from an instructor. However, if we apply ourselves regularly to Bible study, sowing seeds of, I like this word, mental industry. Mental industry, we will reap an extensive understanding of God's will. You read it, you study it, I guarantee you things will begin to pop. That is why you can read the same passage over and over and over again, and you will discover new tidbits. You will understand and you will see connections where you never saw them before. That is where we need to get. The Word of God is both shallow, so that when you are a babe in Christ, you can wade out into the shallow waters, either with yourself or with a child, and find nuggets of pure bliss, nuggets of wisdom. But the Word of God is also so deep that not even the most advanced computer, advanced submarine, not even the most intelligent person can fully grasp everything. And I think God intended for us to be like that, so that we can never say, I've arrived, I've obtained. But also, God does not want us to grow bored with seeking. Because it's fascinating when you're studying and you're like, whoa, I didn't understand it like that. But now I do, and I feel amazing. We must all realize that we are responsible for the diligence that we have, for the mental faculties that God has given to us. Will there be some limitations? Yes. But should we ever have the mindset, I can't understand it, I'm not smart enough, so I'm going to give up? No. Is it okay to say, I don't understand it yet? I don't even want to tell you how much of this book I don't fully understand, to be honest. But honestly, I hope everyone out there would be honest with themselves and say, I'm right there with you. There is so much I don't understand. But there's a lot that I do. And I'm thankful for this congregation that affords me the opportunity to where I don't have to punch a ticket on some side job, that I get to spend my day diving deep into the Word of God. And I'm blessed for that, and I thank you for it. But we need to have a desire to grow. We need to have a desire for the Word of God. Just as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know, we understand how that baby may not understand why it desires it. All the baby knows is, I need that milk. And we may not fully understand all the intricacies of why we need to be studying. We just simply need to have that desire and know that the result of that desire, that we can grow. That is where we want to be. You know, you see so much effort being given to understand medicine, space, even sports. I spoke to Hank just the other day about musical theory, of this guy breaking down these songs into threes. And I'm sure Bill will say this. That thing easily went over my head. Pew. Bill would probably say it like most things. But the excuse that one can't understand the Bible is just that, an excuse. Our knowledge must be turned into wisdom and properly applied. There is so much information that we can easily try and use the knowledge in a wrong way. But that is why Jesus warned them and said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." In seeking to be wise, we will learn that it takes so much. And to apply it to our lives, we need to be applying the Word of God during the good times and bad times. Because it's important for us not to fall victim and be one of these people who in verse 22 say, "Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that?" But we need to understand and apply the will of the Father. Bottom line, that is why we are seeking to grow in our knowledge. Because Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." We must learn, understand, and apply the Word of God. If something has been said this morning and has sparked your curiosity, we would love to sit down and study with you. We want to get to know you better, and if you've not put on Christ in baptism, and if you're curious about what that entails, we will assist you with that. You've heard a small portion of God's Word spoken this morning. You've heard. Faith does not come from just hearing someone speak, but rather hearing the Word of God. That is the source that true faith comes from. You need to believe the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your ways, turn away from the way that God would not have you to be, and start walking in the light, trying to do what He would desire for you to do. Cast away every weight and snare that entangles you. Confess with the open mouth that, "Yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ." Reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. And then remain faithful. But maybe you're here this morning and maybe your desire for the knowledge has not been there. Maybe we can help you with that. If anyone has any need, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing.
Soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God?